Working on a laptop close. Hey, welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is the show where we talk about nerd and geek knowledge. We drop some opinions on you every Wednesday night. This is what we do. We open the entire thing up with The Gates by Da Vinci's Notebook. Really cool, low-key, chilled-out stuff, man. So
I hope you chill tonight. Yeah. I mean, semester's over. You should be.
Oh, man, it is ripe in the middle of the summer. It is hot outside.
It is
real, real
words
hot.
Words I can't say on the air, hot.
You know
outside.
What's also hot? The website where all our stuff's back up to. Bear, what is the website?
Go over to exppoints.com and double-tap the P.
We're also on social media. You can check us out at exppoints.com/social. Get your Twitter fix, your Facebook, your Google Pluses, your YouTubes, your Steam communities.
Socially things,
all
that,
that stuff.
We pretend to
I've got a little piece of update news.
Update news.
And we're updates. We updated the Experience Points Minecraft server to 1.9.4 using I can't even remember Spigot, I think, which is Lightcraft Bucket.
I don't know any of those guys because I'm still out of computers.
Well, you could practically play Minecraft on anything. I am pretty sure. Like, smartwatch, you have a phone. I know they have it for Android.
Do they really?
Yeah, they got it for Android. I don't know if it works on the same server settings, but...
Probably not.
Anyway, we are going to cut to two songs. We're going to come back talk about what we did last week. This is Star Fox, Corneria, Asteroids by Entertainment System, and then Tabletop by Beefy. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Tabletop by Beefy before that. Star Fox, Corneria, Asteroids by Entertainment System. Bear, what'd you do last week?
Last
what you been doing?
It's getting hard to do things in my everyday life.
Why?
Ran out of technology.
Oh, I was like, are you doing like an Airbnb for like your everyday life? Are you subletting?
My life? Can you do that? Because like, if someone wants to take this crap, it's on them.
Oh, man.
Y'all can like, you pay me to take my life.
What did you do? Small amount of things
I
did
have
you live
lost
through?
Lost so much technology that I have resorted to reading a book.
Dude, I started reading a book again this week too. Actually,
wow. Yeah. Actually, just wanted to go back and reread the Harry Potter series. So I read the first one.
You're like, well, you know,
oh my god, a Chamber of Secrets.
I got a lot. I've got a lot of things, a lot of time on my hands. Might as well fill that time on my hands with books in my hands.
Yeah. So I did that, and I did decide on the computer case for the new build that's coming out.
So you're going to have a case first, and then you're going to put stuff in it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm basically just going to piece out parts because I'm impatient, can't save up enough money, and then buy everything at once.
PC Part Picker is pretty awesome for that.
For
those that don't know, PCPartPicker.com, they don't underwrite the show, but they're pretty good.
They could. Please. Anyway, it's a Corsair, the Carbide Series Quiet 600Q.
Wow, that's got a mouthful. They could have just been like, I'm getting me a Wolverine. Like, could have given it like some special name. Like,
Corsair always does that to the cases.
I need to get the XKJ XD Smash Up 3 Deluxe or whatever. Yeah. Some crazy weird name.
Yeah, so my last one was like the Obsidian 700D.
Yeah, that was the bulbous one. That was the bulbous one.
No,
right?
that was a really old one. You're talking about the green one?
No, I was talking about the silver one.
Silver. Oh, no, that was, God, man. Come on.
It was real, real old.
That one was less old.
That
but
was high school.
That was a Corsair. That was one of the Corsair's first cases.
With the big rods. Like,
yeah,
they had big
the skis.
Pipes. Yeah, big
actually,
pipes.
I loved that case. It was awesome.
It was real crazy.
No, this one's a bit smaller. And it's built to be quiet and enclosed, so nice. It has sound dampening foam all around it.
Interesting thing that that sort of happened over, I guess, the last maybe like 5 years. Really small computers became really powerful. You could totally game. I have a mini ITX, and it is super, super tiny. It is about the size of a really rectangular watermelon.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You know,
on your desk. Yeah.
In the Hadron Air from EVGA, and it's a super compact, super dense thing, and it runs. I mean, it's got a 760, but.
Well,
maybe when those 1080s come out, I can justify.
I'll probably end up getting a 1070.
Yeah, that'll work too. I mean, it's 6.5 teraflops. It's
for
ridiculous.
Like half the price.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cool. That's the first step. Congratulations.
I am taking steps, guys. Aren't you proud
of
me? No,
first
I'm actually going insane without a computer. I have the Lenovo 100S laptop.
Right. It can play Undertale.
It can play Undertale.
That's what we've established.
And
but how many times can you play Undertale?
Well, to be fair, you can play Undertale a lot.
Yeah.
So I've been enjoying that. That's I mean, aside from my car, my car's in the shop again. Again, right. This is why I don't have any money. My car's in the shop again. I gotta go get a tooth ripped out my skull. So
that's not a good place for that tooth to be.
I've had a great week, in your mouth. I should have just not come back from Everfree, I think.
Oh man,
that was so much more fun.
Maybe that was it. You forgot to brush your teeth the entire time.
Entire time
up there.
Was at Everfree, yeah. And then I drank too much with gin, and now my teeth rot out of my skull.
That could be it.
So.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, at least you found. Well, hold on. Let's not dwell on the bad stuff with the tooth and everything. Let's dwell on
coming.
You got a case on the way. That is the first.
I haven't ordered it yet.
So congratulations.
But I've decided on it.
Well, that's all right. You know what? It'll only get cheaper. That's the great
thing. That is actually
it'll only get cheaper.
So.
I updated the Minecraft server. That was something that I did. That was pretty neat. And the nice thing is a lot of the mods, I use MicMyAdmin or MyMicAdmin or whatever to kind of manage everything. So if there's a known exploit, please don't exploit it. but no, I use that. And the nice thing is back in the day, CraftBucket used to automatically update or you used to be able to download the jar file and just replace the jar file, and that was the update.
Right.
But at some point, they decided that that wasn't going to be the way it was going to work, and they decided to build a tool that will rebuild the update every time. So if you wanted to update, you have to then like compile it from source, sort of.
Interesting. Yeah, last time I was managing a server, it was just replace the jar.
Right. So effectively, you still have replaced the jar, but to get the jar, you can't just download it. You have to rebuild it from source.
I don't know why they did that.
I don't know, but I was able to get the latest version of it. It was compatible with all the mods that I had that were updated. And really, I only cared about Dynamap because I wanted a map because
that's cool.
It's so cool and pretty. But then there were other things like the essential builds and then World Guard. So you have regions still. And no one's ever really, we haven't got a lot of love towards the Minecraft server because I don't think people know that it's out there. So if you go to exppoints.com/servers, you'll see all of the servers that we have. Or if you're playing Space Engineers or you're playing, any of that stuff, you don't need an IP. Just search for like /EP:\, and that's going to get you there. You'll be able to find it in the browsers. Same thing with Unreal Tournament. We got UT2K4.
Oh, we still have that server?
We have a server for that. We have a Terraria server.
Wow.
You need the IP for that. But
I know what we're doing.
Yeah, so you can go to exppoints.com/servers and you can see all that stuff. I started reading John Varley's Titan. It's a first in a trilogy of sci-fi books by John Varley. I think he did Steel Beach a while back.
Okay.
But Titan, Wizard, and Demon. I'm on Titan. I've read it before, but it was a long time ago. I mean, it was... I don't know, like maybe in the 90s even when I read it.
Like Harry Potter, I read The Chamber of Secrets in fourth grade.
Yep. So
there you go.
Wow, it has been out for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
That made so much money. No.
I know. Why could I do that?
I went ahead and I started playing Fallout 4 Far Harbor, the latest DLC that dropped May 19th. I started playing it, and I think I'm a good ways through it. I made a mistake, though. If for anyone out there that is not playing the DLC or haven't started the DLC, make sure you bring Nick Valentine with you. Because Nick Valentine, I'm not going to give anything away because maybe people haven't played the actual story, but this DLC apparently is really good with that character. There's some story tie-in that I didn't figure out until later. And it should have been the entire quest starts at Nick's detective agency, and he's standing right there like, should I come with you? I'm like, no, I'm taking Pepper with me, or Piper. Piper's
no,
in a,
I'm good,
Piper,
bro.
I got my wife. We're going. And we'll be all right.
He's like, no, I should really go with you.
But you have to take him.
It's like one of those situations when the GM goes, are you sure?
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I'm sure. I know what I'm doing. And then you die immediately. But no, you don't die immediately. Piper was fine. But, Nick was – there's special reasons to bring him that tie into the story. But I'm playing that. It's fantastic. There's new news out about the Fallout 4 sort of – ever since they released the creation kit or the GEC or whatever for Fallout 4, there's now there's an entire sort of campaign to do not a total conversion but like a separate campaign where you go to Seattle.
That'd be interesting.
And
my favorite city destroyed.
And,
Let's do that.
Yeah, yeah. But so the nice thing is, it's not just going to be like an add-on. Like it's going to be a big giant thing to add to the game using the tools
expand the universe.
Right. So they're aiming for lore friendly. And I've seen some of the things that people have done with Skyrim, and that's been amazing.
Dude, Skyrim has been an amazing gift to the gaming community.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's crazy to think it's only came out, I think, 2009. 2009 is when it was released, which isn't that far back. It was only 7 years ago, right?
Well, still, but in internet time, that's like 700 years.
That's a good point.
And we still talk about it.
That is a good point. Started watching Seinfeld.
I'm sorry. Please tell me you've watched Seinfeld before.
I have not watched Seinfeld, and I haven't watched Friends. Haven't watched Seinfeld, Friends, Frasier.
Did you even grow up in the 90s?
So my mom was in control of the TV when I was growing up, and it was Murphy Brown. We watched Murphy Brown. And I know Murphy Brown, I think she's like a lawyer or something.
Wow.
And
speaking of the
shoulder pads is all I can say. Just lots of shoulder pads in the 90s.
Speaking of that, the 90s and designing and television, women. I was watching a channel. It was like 107 facts that you should know about Daria.
Okay.
And I started watching that today, and the way they started out, though, made me sad, because they started out by explaining who Daria is for those who have never heard of Daria.
Oh.
And the fact that MTV used to have cartoons.
Yes.
And yep. I'm like, wow, I'm old.
Yep.
Crap. So we're at this point.
No, we started watching Seinfeld, and the first season only has a few episodes in it. Like, it's like a pilot season or something.
Right.
I don't know. Like, it was hard to watch the first episode because it seemed all disconnected. And Jerry Seinfeld kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. But then the second episode was okay. I imagine the third episode's fine. Started watching that.
Remember the first season of TNG.
Oh yeah. Well, it could be bad, but I'll give it at least one season. Though that doesn't really hold together for like rom-coms or sitcoms or whatever. You know, sci-fi's a little different.
That's true.
But I did start, I think, a new sci-fi series.
I'm
not
series.
Even the full episode through with Person of Interest. It apparently
I've actually never watched
it.
That.
Was a CBS. It's got a few actors that I recognize. I think Henry Caviezel or whatever. He was the guy the guy from Lost who was the weird bug-eyed looking guy.
Oh, okay.
Can't remember his name, and that's a terrible description.
Speaking of sci-fi, Lost.
Speaking of Lost.
And disappointments.
But no, so I started watching that, and I got to play a little bit of a game that I've wanted to do a silent playthrough, because I don't want to... I guess whenever I do a walkthrough or a playthrough, I don't like talking during it because I feel like there's this expectation to make dumb jokes and like be scared and do PewDiePie type stuff and just be that personality. I thought like maybe you just want to have something go on in the background, play part of this video or whatever, see what the game's about so that you can make a decision whether or not you want to buy it. So it's cool for me because the first time I play through a game, I can go ahead and just record it and save that and upload it later. So, one of the games that I've played through before completely is Evoland 1, and I really liked it because I've had this idea. I'm sure I'm not the only one where you take a game.
No, you're original.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah. I'm a unique snowflake.
Exactly.
Evoland was sort of like a weird tech demo. It was loosely cobbled together into a story where it took you through the generations of video game technology back from 8-bit era all the way up to 3D. And it went through a bunch of different things that people don't know, like Mode 9. People don't know what that is until they play like early Final Fantasy or early, an early RPG or whatever.
Yeah.
Evoland 2, so much better. I've already recorded about 3 hours worth of video in two parts that I'm going to upload to the site eventually, probably to Video Game Rewind.
And
I'll link it, up until people understand that there's a difference between these three or four sites now. There will be links or whatever. So I played a little bit of that, and I got to say, I really, really enjoy it. It's a good throwback to being able to play PlayStation-era games and Super Nintendo-era games, so 8-bit, 16-bit, and then 32-bit generation games, but on a modern sort of platform.
Yeah.
Which is
and honestly, it's kind of like a good historical archive to expose people to how it used to be.
That is really nice to have. I feel like frequently, and we've done shows about it where we talk about the video game crash in 1983.
Right.
It's hard to have perspective if you didn't live through it, and neither of us were alive during 1983.
No.
But it's hard to have perspective unless you really are passionate about it and you go through and you understand everything, and then you're presented things sort of in almost like a talkative way, a discussion sort of way, that you're not going to be able to go back. People don't want to go back and play really difficult-to-play Nintendo games. You know, Mario is good to play. Even though the graphics aren't what the Mario on Wii is today, the controls are.
Right.
The visual... aesthetic
it's a side scroller.
It's a side scroller that started the whole thing, more or less. You know, so don't tell the people at Atari that. But I mean, it effectively started the big.
It made things popular.
It saved it. It saved it. It saved the entire thing.
No one can argue that.
So it's nice to be able to go through and play like all of these little parts and just really enjoy it. I thought that was really cool. So those will be posted pretty soon. It's a long segment. We're going to go ahead and cut to a song, come back, and we're going to talk about other stuff. This is Geek Culture Is Dead, or GEEK Culture Is Dead by Kirby Crackle. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to this exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You just heard GWK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. We're going to break into sort of our discussion segment about some of the hot topics in the last week.
And I know what we're
doing. Not actually hot topic.
We can talk about hot topic because it's not the same anymore.
It's not the same anymore.
I miss 90s hot topic.
You know,
yes, I'm old and yes, I'm nostalgic.
In the 90s, you would go there to buy a wallet on a chain.
Literally.
Now you go and you buy comic books and you buy Japanese fruit snacks and you buy t-shirts with Adventure Time characters.
I mean,
pretty much turned into Spencer's Gift at some point. I don't know when that happened.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Well, it happened whenever they got rid of the industrial entrance.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, because they used to have the big green tube thing.
It looked like you were in a culvert, like a really, really big culvert.
It was very like 90s gutter.
Under a highway.
Yeah.
All right, that's not what we're actually going to talk about,
though. Anyway, yeah, that's the thing that's happened in real life.
We are going to talk about things related to geek, nerd, movies, TVs, and believe it or not, sports. Question mark.
I didn't see
that's
that
exactly what I wrote on the show notes. Sports question mark. So esports. Esports are effectively people that play video games professionally and competitively, and then they televise it. You see whether you show up at a big arena like the Superdome or whatever, and you see people on big jumbotrons duking it out in Super Smash Brothers, CS:GO, League of Legends, very popular.
One of the most
StarCraft.
Popular.
Another super popular one. When you go and you watch that, you're watching an e-sport, right? MLG, Major League Gamers, and places like that. Those are things that exist. There are teams that are professionally purchased and traded amongst really rich people. Cloud9, Team Liquid, tons of those teams, right?
All true statements.
The Pac-12, which is like Pacific, I guess, 12 state, not 12 states, but you know the sports organization that is the Pac-12.
Okay.
Big for football, big for it's collegiate. It's collegiate.
I got you.
They will officially start broadcasting esports competitions. Which is kind of neat because up until now we've seen Twitch.
Right.
We've seen Twitch. ESPN has in the past, you know, shown an esports competition. And they've kind of gotten hounded about it or whatever. But the fact that Pac-12, which is big, it's SEC down here. Pac-12, you know, big, I think it's Pac-12, Big 6, Big 5, all those up there, I only know this because I ran Instant Replay. I'm not a football person.
Oh, okay, I was wondering, dude, when did you become a sports fanatic?
I know how to sports very well. Look at me
Honestly, I'll be honest with you. I saw PAX, and I was thinking of, like, the convention.
Oh, Penny Arcade Expo?
Yeah. That's
no.
I thought.
Sorry, that's probably funner for us, but more fun. Pac-12 will begin officially broadcasting esports competitions, which I thought was really, really cool. And anything... Not that I care about esports. Not that I really want to watch somebody play a game.
I'm not a fan, but
I don't think I.
It's not a bad thing.
I have a Twitch account, but I don't think I've ever actually used it. Like I don't think I've ever actually done anything with Twitch.
As a person, I'm not a fan, but for all the people that are fans, this is great.
Right, and it will only help push the platform. It'll only help more solidify games in sort of that realm of things.
And I will say maybe this will help gaming become a more mature art form in society, saying that this isn't just for kids, that like, well, they're in our footballs now.
I know. I think gaming is sort of there, actually. Not that it can't get better. Well, we'll know we'll be there in society whenever people stop regarding video games, like playing video games, as not sports-like. That's sort of
Okay,
I think we'll be there whenever society or most people in society will stop regarding playing video games like this as not actually being sports-like.
Gotcha. I think this is a step in that direction.
I think all sports really are things that require a large amount of dedication and skill. Somebody needs to dedicate their time, be passionate enough about what they're doing, and it's helpful to make a ton of money doing it. But, you know, that is a sport. Sport can be, I hunt.
Right,
I hunt for sport. For enjoyment? Is that what you're saying? I hunt for sport? Whenever you use sport that way, it's for enjoyment. It's for, you know, entertainment. Well, this is they're playing for entertainment and large sums of money. Don't overlook the
large sums of money.
But like chess. Chess has been professionally... Poker.
Poker is a great example.
Poker is a fantastic example. Is it more manly to play poker than it is to play video poker or just a video game competitively? You know, it still takes skill.
Never did understand video poker, to be honest.
It's a racket, I think. But
the whole point was to, like, see your opponents.
The nice thing about a video game over something like football, and I'm not saying football is not nice. I'm just saying that football...
No, we're definitely not saying that.
Football,
not here.
Football is based around... Everyone's seen a football game where they've seen a bad call by a ref. Right. Everyone's seen that, and despite instant replay, those calls sometimes stand. And that's because it is a game with a ton of rules that are that need to be enforced by people. And people right. don't always know all the rules. They only have two eyes. They can only look in one direction, and there's only like
judgment calls.
There's only like eight of them on the field, right?
Yeah.
In a video game scenario, a competitive video game scenario, the world is dictated. There's a rule sets that are dictated by the engine that force the players to act a certain way.
So is wall hacks going to be like the new doping?
Right. Well, no, there's no, there's doping. There's literally esports doping. People have gotten
disqualified. There's not people been.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, are we counting caffeine?
No. I'm talking about like performance enhancing drugs that help you perceive things faster or whatever.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a real
thing. Adderall or something.
Yeah. It's.
Wow.
We're at
wow.
that point where I think you know, and especially with esports.
So we're a real sports now.
We're real sports.
We have doping conspiracies. We're real sports.
Moving on.
Like Russia.
Moving on in technology news. This is something that happened, I think, 2 days ago or 1 day ago.
Do love technology news.
The Pebble. Team Pebble behind, I'm wearing my Pebble Time, but behind the Pebble One, the Pebble Time, the Pebble Round.
Pebble Watches,
the Pebble Watches, everything like that.
We'll get around to it eventually.
They are releasing not one, not two, but three new things on Kickstarter. They're home. They love it.
They do love Kickstarter.
Pebble 2, which is the second version of their original Pebble Watch.
Fair enough.
Which will have a heart rate sensor and an activity tracker.
Okay.
Time 2, so Pebble Time 2, which is the second version of this, which will have a much larger screen, I think 55% larger screen than this.
Oh, wow, that's a big screen already.
Yeah, it's like there's the bezel. I think it's the entire thing of the bezel. It'll be the same form factor, but much bigger. It'll have a 10-day life instead of a 7-day life.
That's awesome.
It'll have a heart rate sensor and an activity tracker in there, a microphone, all that stuff. So will the Pebble 2. It'll have a microphone, and you can swim with these. And then the neat thing is Pebble Core. Core is a tiny little, it almost looks like a 2x2-inch square that has a headphone jack, and you're able to put a SIM card in it and connect via 3G and stream music to Spotify. It has 4 gigs on it. You can store music on there. It's got a GPS. It connects via Wi-Fi, and you can put your music on it and put it on here, and it'll sync up to Runkeeper, Google Fit, all of these things, Track My Run, and you can just hold that there without your phone and run. It's like a self-sufficient wearable specifically for working out and everything.
I got you. Yeah, because that's always, you see the people like running with like their iPhone strapped to their shoulder and stuff.
Right. Well, my phone, your phone even, it's a 5-inch something screen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not meant to be up here. We need rock muscles. We need Dwayne Johnson's arms before we're going to run.
Or Pip Boys,
yeah. So it's neat that they came out with this. The cool thing was they were asking for $1 million.
Okay.
Whenever I checked, mere hours after the thing had started, $3.5 million had already been funded. So
people want it.
I checked today. It is over $7 million or $6 million something.
Okay, but still.
Yep. So I got me a Pebble Time, too, and I got my wife is getting a Pebble Core. So because she's big into working out now. She's
big into the whole workout scene.
She's big into the whole workout scene. She's got goals, man. And it's cool. Like I was talking with her about it, and I was like, you know, I need to graph and chart things. That's why I like Runkeeper.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm dieting, and that's why I use my FitnessPal.
Right.
I love the numbers, and I hate Under Armour because of restricting me now.
I love graphs, I love numbers, and I love statistics. And if you can show me trends over time, I love it. All right, let's get to gaming news because
we
talk about sports. That never happens.
Weird.
And then technology, that happens a lot.
That does. Okay, so
Mighty Number 9 recently released
a
trailer.
Did that ever come out?
No, it released the trailer for it. This is the first trailer. The entire game releases June 21st. I think it might be earlier for backers. I don't know. It's been so long since It's been so long since I backed the thing. I don't know when it's actually coming out.
I'm not sure if I did or not. It doesn't matter. That would have been on.
There's not even really any benefit to backing that game anymore. I read one comment from somebody. They're like, after the trailer, which was released today, it was really bad. Somebody said, should I feel ashamed for backing this?
Oh my God. Well, I still haven't got my, Double Fine Adventure thing.
No, but I'm sure they're working on it. Up there with Half-Life Episode 3, which has been over 10 years, or over 15 years promised to us. We recently rolled over. I think it was 10 or 15. It was one of those milestones.
Yeah.
They
teased us with that secret announcement, the G-Man on the website.
Oh, remember? That was really just Black Mesa?
Yeah.
Like, the interesting thing about the trailer is, as much love as Keiji Inafune, who created Mega Man Legends, has to have for this type of genre. I mean, one he effectively refined and remastered and created and pushed forward.
Right, yeah, no, definitely.
Especially after how Capcom dealt with things. You would think that
it
with
was
all
crappy,
that,
by the way,
with all that love, that this would be better than it is. But the trailer even had like some terrible. It had some terrible, like, "Hey, dude, check out this. It's really cool. You need to." Whoa, is that a dash move? And it would do that, like they were advertising for Crackdown, the game, because Crackdown is ridiculous. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know
about,
exactly
though.
What you're talking about.
You know, he's got a big fast car and a big gun. You know, and some crazy stupid voiceover. Fine. And then they said, "You're so powerful. It'll have your enemies crying like an anime fan at prom night." That's almost a direct quote. Like,
wow.
An anime fan on prom
now,
night.
Okay,
what?
I'm going to say, A, that's terrible to say.
That's your fans. That's who you're selling the damn game to. What are you doing?
I 10,000% agree. And what I was just talking about, video games being taken seriously as an art form. That's crap like this that hurts us.
Well, so
I actually have not seen the trailer. So
the trailer,
you
know what? The trailer looks, it doesn't look bad. It's just... Well, when you play a game,
when your marketing's going in this direction, I mean,
yeah. So it's definitely a marketing snafu. I feel like there are plenty of games out there that are super mature games. The Witcher 3,
right?
The Witcher 3,
definitely.
Even Metal Gear Solid,
well, even just like games that don't have mature content that are just fun. You don't have to treat your audience like this.
So this is it. You know, this is more like a regular Mega Man game instead of like a Mega Man X or a Mega Man Legends. I guess just Mega Man X, which is a more adult-themed game. Not that you really noticed that until Mega Man X 3, X 4, when they started putting out the anime cutscenes, and you realize, oh, wait, they're killing people. you know, it's a little it's a little different then, but... so the game comes out the 21st June. I'm gonna download it as soon as possible. Yeah. I got it for the Steam
release.
I'll come
over and we'll do some playing on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if there's gonna be local multiplayer or anything. That's the thing that's really weird to me. The feature list has come and gone a little bit. There's given a little bit and taken a little bit back, and it's just weird. So I don't know about it yet. In other news, July 26th
is a day.
It's a day. It's coming up in a couple months.
Get ready.
Batman Return to Arkham. For $50, Bear, you can have two of the best Batman games by Rocksteady. This is Batman Arkham Asylum, which was originally released in 2009, and Batman Arkham City, which was released in 2011. So seven years ago and five years ago.
I feel like you're trying to make me excited about this.
Oh, it's a remastered bundle, which means new graphics.
That's cool.
Though, minor side note.
I've seen the graphics.
I've seen the graphics of the before and the after.
Right.
I recently decided to reinstall Batman Arkham Asylum, the first version, the first game.
You know, the one where I believe it should have ended.
Oh, I didn't dislike Arkham City. And I haven't played Arkham Knight.
Quick opinion, I like the Arkham games. Bear with me. I like the Arkham games, but I feel like it's Gothic Blues Clues.
Yes, but at the same time, it can't be Batman the Animated Series because, despite having Kevin Conroy, despite having Mark Hamill, and despite fantastic Tara Strong, once she replaced the original Harlequin actress in the second game in Asylum or
She was doing Harley Quinn before the games too, I believe.
I think she was doing some other things. She couldn't voice Harley Quinn in Asylum. She voiced her in City and in all the other ones. My point is
the stories are actually kind of interesting.
The stories are interesting,
the
and you have to fill out an entire game. You have to fill out an entire, let's just say, 15-hour game. 15 hours minimum.
The fight mechanics is fun because you feel like you're in control. It's not that scripted,
it's not quick time events. They're like just in time, slow time events.
It technically is, but it doesn't give you that feel.
Right.
But like I said, I just don't like...
When I legitimately got a good combo streak, I felt good about it.
Here's how I can sum it up. I feel like there's training wheels on this game.
Yes.
And they just stick with you the whole time. Like, I'm a master detective. You don't need to tell me I should follow these footprints.
Yep.
I could figure that out. That's my biggest argument.
You get Alfred. You get the butler chiming in.
Oh, my gosh, Alfred.
Master Wayne, perhaps you could blah, 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 blah.
I wonder if that ever happened, like, I'm going to say Batman real life, but, like, in the universe, if Batman's just sitting there thinking, God, I wish Alfred would shut up.
I imagine that's like a college humor sketch or something. Yeah. Like,
thanks, Mom.
Alfred, I see that there are footsteps. Well, Master Wayne, perhaps you should follow them. Yeah, I know. I got that. I understand. I've been doing this a little bit longer than you, Alfred.
You know what? That's my new headcanon for Batman, so I'm just going to say now I like the Arkham series.
But Bruce Wayne actually hates Alfred. He thinks he needs to stick his nose somewhere else. So we looked at a trailer comparison for The Return to Arkham, which will be priced at $50, which I'm not sure that's a good price because the graphics didn't look bad in 2009, 2011. They didn't look bad.
They were very nice graphics, especially at the time.
Well, especially now. Like, I've gone back and I've played the game.
I played them past year or two.
Now, I got to say, it's nice if you put, like, Reshade or something on top of it, EMB series or something on top of it, but you don't have to. The color correction isn't really that necessary.
I mean, everything's black.
Everything's black. Everything's dark. Batman. The neat thing is, you know, some of the scenes certainly look better in the trailer comparison between the old and the new.
Right. I would hope so.
But a lot of them look, they're not bad, but they look, like, arguably worse than in the new version, from the old version. Like, they crushed all of the darks. They made, right. They tried to do this realistic glass with the penguin with Cobblepot's eye based off of, like, the Coke bottle at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good. It looks like it didn't load a texture the right way, and it's refracting light in a weird way.
I absolutely agree.
The darks of the eyes, the irises, are way, way darker than they need to be, and everything's just a little bit darker. And it's okay. It's not bad. Certainly, if we didn't have the first comparison shot to look at, we would say, oh, this is a really nice looking game.
Right, yeah, it's not going to encourage me to rebuy it.
Right. There are even things that they've done with, like, the X-ray vision that Batman has, sonar mm-hmm. vision or whatever, bat vision.
Right.
That whenever I look at it, I'm like, no, I liked it before. I don't really care for it now. So,
yeah, especially not $50 of my money.
You know, we're going to
that's what I'm saying about it.
Well, it'd be nice if it could detect that you own the previous versions of the games, give you a discount on it. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. That's happened before, where if you've owned previous versions, I think it was the Metro 2033 series. If you owned the previous versions of the game, they had the remastered versions or whatever, and I already owned both of the originals, and they were like, hey, we'll give you $10 off. And I'm like, that's cool. I mean, these still look good, so I'm not going to get that. But it'd be nice in this case, because maybe I would. Maybe they support 4K resolution. Though I don't think that was a problem back then, because I remember going to QuakeCon in 2009, and they had that set up with NVIDIA Surround.
Yeah.
And it was in 3D.
In Vision.
Yeah, in Vision. And it was in giant mode, and it was great, you know? And those graphics were really, really top-notch. So congratulations, Rocksteady, on being the developer that did that, so that, you know, here we are 7 years later. Or 7 years total later, we have two games that are being remastered, and we care for them that much, you know, that you're going to keep that going, to say that maybe you don't even need to buy the new
headcanon. I care.
You don't even need to buy the new ones. You can buy the old ones, you know, because they're still good.
I want to be clear after that little rant. I did enjoy them.
Yeah. Let's talk about, there's one last thing in games, and we'll cut to a song. We'll come back and we'll talk about our last two pieces. Nintendo has a Minecraft Mario free, like, pack for the Wii U version of Mario of Minecraft.
Yay!
It's called the Minecraft Super Mario Mashup Pack, and it is completely free. And if you make a video, that's a big thing on YouTube, is a lot of people play Minecraft, record it, put it up there, and talk and do stuff.
There's so many Let's Plays of Minecraft.
Right, there's a ton. But
going into Let's Plays, don't do a Minecraft video.
Nintendo has now issued copyright claims over any Minecraft videos that have any of the Mario elements in them.
Now, you see, Nintendo, don't be crappy.
It's ridiculous. Like, that's like free publicity.
It literally is.
That you're
for them,
selling.
Actually.
They're selling your product, and granted, it's free. Okay, but you can only get it on the Wii U.
Yeah, so you need a Wii U to play it. So
you can only get this content.
Pack, so I guess I'm really going to buy a $250 game system to get it.
I guess somebody could decompile.
I bought it for Splatoon, so I can't say much.
They could decompile it, and they can take all the assets out and then recreate them for the PC version and release it for
free. I mean,
if
someone already hasn't.
Right, but I mean, this is not something you want to do to your fan base. You don't want to segregate your fan base and then take their money from them.
It seems to be the theme this time is be nice to your fan base. People.
Be nice
Come
to your
on.
Fan base. Just do that. We're going to cut to Splash Woman by Mega Ran. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about our last two bits. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
There's new experience points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Splash Woman by Mega Ran. Let's talk about our last two segments, and then we'll get you out of here with a song.
Let's do that, because you're going to need a song.
So in movie news,
I can't believe we're here.
We started hearing some rumors about the Warcraft movie.
Yes.
And those rumors, those murmurs are bad. It was one of those...
I've been concerned about it for a long time now.
It's one of those things where it's a video game movie. Don't take yourself too seriously. Certainly, WoW and Warcraft by itself hasn't taken itself too seriously throughout the ages.
No.
This movie sort of does. And, you know, So sorry.
So we're here.
Sorry.
Although I think it's ironic, and like, and we hadn't, like, the movie's not even out yet. So,
well, it's out, I think, in India or China.
Well, I'm not in India or China.
Well,
And I haven't watched the Handycam version yet.
No.
So
neither have I. Neither have I.
I'm just saying, I'll go see it. We're going to see it, but. My expectations were low, and, you know, I'm kind of salty with Blizzard currently, even though they are talking to
Astralis. Yeah. So, moving on to the real movie news. So you've seen
movie.
You've built a snowman before. You built a snowman.
I have, in fact, let it go.
We talk, you know, this is a video game show. This is a nerd show, but you can nerd and geek out about comic book, non-video game things.
If you want to start nerding out about cartoons,
right? You can nerd about anything. So there are plenty of people out there that really love Disney and they really love Frozen.
Indeed. And it's been a money cow for them.
Approaching the topic of a sequel to Frozen 1, which is a ridiculously successful movie.
On the internet, you know where we're going.
Frozen 2 has been hit with two conflicting hashtags.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about hashtags.
From the
news.
Internet community. One hashtag is hashtag give Elsa a girlfriend. And that is purported by some Twitter users. There are a Twitter user.
I forgot who the original tweet was.
The whole idea behind it is that make Elsa gay.
Gay.
And have the gay princess and then have some sort of female love interest in Frozen 2. And then
there was even some art ideas that were sketched out.
Right.
Then, of course, there's the opposite.
There's the opposite. The hashtag charming prince for Elsa, in which they believe that it should be the typical Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, literally every Anna and Kristoff. They should be literally this. Everything that Disney's ever done with respect to princesses, there should be a charming prince for that princess because mothers of America, they don't want to expose their children to this. And
let's go ahead and clarify something. None of this is even from Disney.
None of this is from Disney. This is just the internet being the internet.
Mickey Mouse is just looking over like, what?
Idina Menzel, she's the voice of Elsa, the singing voice and the speaking voice of Elsa. And she was on the musical Rent also.
Yes, actually.
And she was on Glee.
I haven't actually not watched Glee.
As Rachel's mom on Glee. Anyway, she says, quote, "I think it's great. Disney's just got to contend with that," end quote.
Just ain't got to do nothing.
That is a perfect quote, I feel, because she says, "I think it's great." Let's take that and analyze that.
Let's analyze.
If that's how it's going to go, I understand, and I am not biased. There's no prejudice or anything in my statement. Then the second part, Disney's just got to contend with that, end quote. That is the big one, because they will suffer. Disney would suffer if they did that. They would win on some accounts, and they would certainly set a precedent. But how many people would not go see Frozen 2?
Well, it's interesting because Disney is one of the largest corporate supporters of the LGBT community.
Right.
They even literally have, I don't know if they actually call them, gay days at the parks.
I think it's like a week now.
Yeah, and maybe a week
Which
now.
Is weird that there's there. It's kind of the opposite of like, no, we don't want you here. Now
Although
it's like,
I,
no,
I,
now
I,
we
I
only
kinda
want
want
you here.
Straight days. We all, which would be hilarious.
Isn't that the other straight, like, it's the other 356 days of the year or something. Like, you know, why restrict it, you know?
But
it's kind of weird.
I will say Disney has recently featured gay couples.
Yeah.
The neighbors in Zootopia.
Was that the ones that are fighting all the time?
Yeah, the loud neighbors.
Oh, yeah, to the on the wall side of the rabbits. Yeah, okay, I remember that.
Judy's neighbors, yeah. If you look in the credits, they have the same last name and everything, and so...
They're brothers.
Yeah, we could go with that.
They're brothers.
And I may be lying, but I think one of the show creators actually confirmed that they were.
Okay.
I could be misquoting because I'm pulling out of my brain hole.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know. It wasn't a deal then.
It wasn't a deal then, but then they weren't primary characters.
And that's a key. And then they weren't a princess.
Well, the other key is why, like, the love interest in Frozen 1, that wasn't an issue. There was if you took Anna and Kristoff and Anna and the whoever the other guy was,
the redheaded guy,
yeah, the spoiler alert.
Oh my gosh!
Spoiler alert! It's the bad guy.
Fonz? No,
not the Fonz.
It's Hans.
That drove a plot point, but it wasn't really about romance or finding the one you love. It was about being okay with who you were.
Yeah, that was the theme of that whole movie.
It was about finding who you were and letting go of, like, all of the hate and the preconceptions and being cool with who you are.
To be fair, I could see where the gay community would kind of latch to that.
Right, but anyone could latch to that.
Right.
Literally, you can just think up a thing that fits with that. It's a Creed song. It's like you're listening to a Creed song.
Great Person is a Creed song, everyone.
You're listening to a Creed song, and you're like, are they talking about religion? Are they talking about drugs? I don't know, man. Whatever you feel like.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know? It can take you higher, whatever that means.
You're right, though, about Elsa, if she were gay, is setting a precedent because it's a princess.
Right.
And that would be a literal social statement from Disney, even though they're very clear on their stance.
I think you said it when the music was playing, like, it's sort of a political, it would be a political, socio-political maneuver of just the atmosphere today.
Right.
It would be just because people care about that today, that's what the trend we're
going
to follow.
A fun, hot topic going on.
Specifically, not Hot Topic again. Specifically,
I did not mean that.
Star Wars related. Star Wars 7.
Well, let's relate things to Star Wars.
In Star Wars 7,
BB-8 and C-3PO are gay, and R2-D2's upset.
Oh man, that was
you heard it first. Your mic dropped.
There's weird gender issues we need to deal with before we talk about that.
Do we now?
When asked the J.J. Abrams about Star Wars 8, J.J. Abrams said, quote, I would about, you know, would there be gay characters in Star Wars, the Star Wars universe. He goes, quote, I would love it. To me, the fun of Star Wars is the glory of possibility. So it seems insanely narrow-minded and counterintuitive to say that there wouldn't be a homosexual character in that world, end quote.
This is a very large universe.
This is after community has said, oh, Finn and Poe.
Yeah.
So Poe Dameron and
which would make an adorable couple for the record.
FN 298 or whatever. That they were gay or whatever. And that was neither confirmed nor denied. But
no, it's just very clear. J.J. Abrams
seems to say, like, yeah, I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous to feel that that's something possibility in the world. Because it's Star Wars, because they're in space. People have gone to space in real life. Does that mean that we can't have gay characters in real life? No.
I don't know if there's ever been gay people in space.
I don't know.
Huh. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Anyway, just to remind everyone of what has started all of this was a tweet.
It was a tweet.
By a random person unassociated.
I'm sure they're incredibly famous
Frozen
now. They're internet famous
or
now.
Or Disney or anything. That's like, I don't even remember the original tweet, but it's like, hey, yo, give Elsa a girlfriend.
Hashtag give Elsa a girlfriend.
Yeah. So
we're going to say both of those because they're both ridiculous.
They are.
Frozen is not about that. It's about a snowman and his quest to become warm.
Exactly.
Hashtag and make Frozen, Disney, make Olaf great again.
And if Disney does want, that's the thing, because of the media this has gotten, it's now an issue that Disney Corps has to consider.
Oh, yeah.
And
they, quote,
either way they
Disney's
go
Disney's just got to contend with that.
They're contending because now it doesn't matter what they do. They've made it, this is going to be a defining statement.
Right.
Because without that tweet, if Elsa didn't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it would just be another movie.
It would just be a movie with
maybe
they find out Tarzan's their brother or something. We don't know.
So,
we are out of time, but before we go, let's go ahead and tell you where all the stuff on the website is. Bear, what is the website?
And the website is exppoints.com and double tap that.
We're on social media as well, exppoints.com/social. Check us out. Like, subscribe, follow, view, chew, do it all.
Just click all the buttons.
Patreon, PayPal. We're streamable on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play Podcast Music. We're going to leave you with This City Made Us by the Proto Men.
Enjoy.
And we're going to catch you next Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points exclusively on my favorite radio station, Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.